Are you ready for the future? Maybe you doubt, and that's okay. Life goes so fast that the future makes us dizzy. But how do we become future-proof? That is what trend watcher Tom Palmaerts explains. Hi Tom, welcome to our studio.
Hi Kevin.
Normally you're here to talk about what will be the trends of the future. Today we're going to do things differently because you wrote a book, Ready or Not.
Yeah.
Why did you write this book?
Well, Kevin, I've been talking about doing research about the next 5 or 10 years. And past 2 years, 3 years, I was really focused on year 2030 as a focus point. Okay, where will we head to the next 10 years, 11 years? Two out of three people will live in cities worldwide. There will be more and more single households. There will be more and more single parents. The impact of Asian cities will become bigger, and so on and so on. One out of three of youngsters worldwide will be Muslim. Possibly the food price will double, and so on and so on. So it's a really interesting topics. Research topics, but when I enter a team and we start not talking from an entertainment perspective about the future, but really, okay, let's start doing this, let's start creating the future. And you always have this innovation manager or the CEO or the marketing manager or the event manager. Like they have that urge to
They have a vision and
they want to go through there. But then you have the rest of the team. And the rest of the team, they don't have time. The past is for them really important because every idea, someone already tried it out and it didn't work then. So it's like, no. We're not going to do that with, and I found that there is a lot of fearness about the future, about change, and meantime we're like being more and more as a society more and more nostalgic, and nostalgia is in a way is beautiful, I don't know what's for you, but for me, Nirvana, the Unplugged session, MTV Unplugged, just the first sounds of that music just gives me a smile. But can also be a dish or a certain smell or something that takes you back in time and gives you a really great feeling. But then we go along, then we move forward. So this form of nostalgia, the reflective nostalgia, is in a way it brings us back to a certain moment in time, it gives us a smile, and then we go further. The problem is now is not that reflective nostalgia, but it's restorative nostalgia. Is the longing that we are really longing for a home that doesn't exist anymore.
Why doesn't it exist anymore?
We're longing for a past, a home that doesn't exist anymore. So, for instance, schools, internet, drop internet.
Yeah.
Let's use books, start writing, studying. We can't go back in time to the moment that there is no internet. Okay, taxi drivers. We can't go back in time before there was Uber. Hotels. You can't go back in time before there was Airbnb, and so on and so on and so on.
Yeah.
So the home that doesn't exist anymore means that, well, it changed. We can't go back. First. Second, and that's more difficult. Second is, probably that home in your head never truly existed, because it's just kind of a feeling. When I feel happy, when I hear this the song of Nirvana, it's not something very clear. It's just an emotion.
It's not a specific
time. It's not a specific time or specific moment, because when I really go back in time, I also have to think about school, problems. There's so much more. And so every time you see that nostalgia, we want to make America great again, Brexit, but also like very nostalgic packaging or movies, like all the time.
I recently started to use a fountain pen again, so maybe that also applies.
No, but in a way, nostalgia can also be great. Nostalgia can also be a way to search what was better in the past, and let's somehow use it to make the future better. And so somehow you can reuse elements of the past towards the future. But then again, you're still future focused. You're not start to rebuild our past somehow. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to tackle that, and I start digging to research, scientific research, like how can I get that feeling of that longing for a home that doesn't exist anymore? How can I get that rid of? How can I get out of the teams where I'm working for, but not also the teams, also on events when I speak, how can I get it away? And I found out in 1688, a long time ago, 1688, there was a student doctor from Swiss called Johannes Hofer. And that guy was the first to coin nostalgia. Mm-hmm. And it was at the military, and soldiers wanted to go home. And so he could send soldiers home, but that was not a great idea for the war. So they started doing research, and he said, "Well, nostalgia is a problem. We can heal it." And the idea was that people were saying that they felt nostalgia here. So the first experiment was take wood, put it in the fire, and then just start poking people. Didn't work out very well after a while. Then the second experiments were that there is a vein here, and the idea was that nostalgia was somehow sitting here. So if we can open up the vein, nostalgia can go through it. There were some kind of experiments, but also soldiers
died.
So then there was an idea that nostalgia is a bone. So they start searching. What kind of bone is it in your body that is responsible for nostalgia so we can crush it? So I was thinking, like, okay, how can I work with that? So then I came up with the idea of, let's write a book.
And it's also full of terrible things.
Right? Full of terrible. It's 11 ways. It's 11. It's a wrong number. No, it's. I hope that this book, this book is not for the people who are truly innovators and future thinkers, because they'll do this
they
already.
Have it.
They'll have it. It's okay. But for people who just from time to time, needs to have this push, or a little bit of inspiration in how to do stuff.
Yeah, because it's a really inspiring book, because there are a lot of drawings and the size feels good and.
Yeah. Pockets, yeah. I didn't.
But to make it a bit more concrete, what is it exactly? There are all 11 ways. Can you give some examples of what you can do to become more future-proof?
Okay, a few examples. Let's say first, stay young.
Okay.
Stay young. Young is a state of mind. It has nothing to do with your age. When I do exercises on the future, I hear a lot of people saying, I'm too old for that. Mm-hmm. And I can imagine. Sometimes your role is like, okay, I understand everything, and I'm now too old to do this again. Or in event industry, sometimes my audience is too old for that. That's even worse. For instance, we see that people in their 60s are extremely open for technology. They just need a manual. Wait, they just need someone to tell him how it works.
Yeah.
But they're really open for technology. So thinking that, well, people in your 60s, they will never use technology. That's the only generation that really had sex, drugs, and rock and roll. So they're open for everything. Huh? Mm-hmm. Watch out for your audience. They're never too old. So stay young. A really good example and research that's been done is that the success factor of a startup. If you look at, because now we're investing a lot in mm-hmm. people in their 20s. But if you're in your 60s, you have three more chances to have success in your startup than that you're in your 20s.
Because you have the experience.
You have the experience, but you have to be surrounded by young people. And you have to be surrounded by a diverse group of people. So you're never too young. And you can learn a lot today from looking to the activities of young people. When we go back in time, 2006, 2007, when I was giving talks about social media, Facebook, mm-hmm. people were saying, well, that's for students.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that. And definitely my company is not going to do that.
And now everybody
is doing it. Today you have the same story. And when I speak now about TikTok,
that's for children.
That's for children. I'm not going to do that. And definitely my company is not going to do that. So maybe TikTok will be the new Facebook within 10 years. Maybe not. Maybe next year you say, Tom, TikTok didn't work out well. Maybe it's possible. I don't know. But TikTok is a very fascinating system network. First, it's video first. Mm-hmm. Now you have Facebook text first, Instagram picture first. Now you have TikTok that's video first. So you here, you are video first. Mm-hmm. So you now already know that video has enormous impact. So if you want to know what social media can be when video is first, check out TikTok. Huh? So it's then another one. If you go on Twitter, if you go on Facebook, if you mm-hmm. go on Instagram, you need to get people to following you.
Yeah. Otherwise, you don't have any reach.
Otherwise, you don't have reach. Nobody will listen to you. So then companies start buying or influencers start buying followers because you want to have this reach and this impact. Yeah. But on TikTok, it's not your network first, it's the algorithm first. And the algorithm will help you to reach millions of people sometimes, even if you don't have followers. Huh? So it's an entire other approach of a social network. And then third, it's TikTok. It's China. It's not United States.
It's not Silicon Valley first.
It's not Silicon Valley first. It's China first. So there is a cultural approach from China perspective. So if you, and then again, focus on 2030, where you see that Asia will have more and more impact on our culture, pop culture, visual culture, food, drinks, and also mm-hmm. technology and social media. So we need to look for that. And so now if you're in your 40s like me or in your 50s, please check out TikTok. There are a lot of children now, but just try it out. You're never too old. Learn.
Okay. Stay young. Are there other things we can try?
Maybe a little bit linked to it. Stay connected. We see that at the age of 25, people start to have less friends. And it becomes also more difficult to get new friends. Mm-hmm. I already talked about that in a previous interviews. Yeah. Loneliness is going to be one of the big issues to tackle from a society perspective, but also from an event perspective. Mm-hmm. So how can we get people to be more connected to each other. And it appears that when you have more friends, you are more happy. But if you have more friends from diverse cultural groups, religion groups, or age groups, you're more creative, you're more flexible, and you're more an entrepreneur.
Because you're getting more inputs.
More inputs, more different ways of thinking. Mm-hmm. Then maybe we go to a third one. Third way is uncover your blind spot. We see people have most of the time one vision towards that future. And that vision is most of the time constructed by our ways of looking towards the future. Mm-hmm. If you look how we now see the future and compare that with 10 years ago, the biggest difference is technology. When you now talk about the future, people start talking about technology.
Yeah, the Tesla cars and...
and so on and so on and so on. And most of the time they're true, but most of the time they didn't really think about the question. So our society now, when they look towards the future, is technology, technology, technology. And it's great. If you like this, if you are a bit of a nerd, if you have people surrounding you that are a bit of nerds and you try things out, it's your future, you're part of it, go for it. Don't look back, go for it. But if technology is not in your DNA, what happens is that people freeze. And definitely when people only talk about Amazon and Google, and they freeze because they are just a little store somewhere here and they can't deal with those type of stories. So they freeze. And what I do more and more now as just a form of exercise is that I let people stand up, ask them to close their eyes. And they're always a bit scared then. Like, I'm not a hippie. It's okay. Close your eyes. And I bring them with a story. I bring them towards 2030 in their mind. And I let them to think about the world in 2030, how they are working, who are their colleagues, how are they traveling to home or to a pub, and what do they drink, what do they eat, what kind of friends do they have, how do they communicate, and so on. So I bring them in a story, and they need to create some kind of future vision in their mind. And then I ask them, simple question, what kind of future did you create? And most of the time, people create a future from the constructed vision. Mm-hmm. That is what people are telling us. So all autonomous cars, all robots talking to us, Google Home or Alexa is listening to us. And so all this type of future visions, constructed. Some people say, well, that's a story that I'm scared of. Those are most of the time the two types of stories that you hear. But actually, you have three types of stories. You have the constructed story. Mm-hmm. You have the future that you fear. But you also have the future that you hope. And the beautiful thing is, when you start doing this exercise three times, that you don't think in one future anymore. You think in different possibilities. And that constructed vision that people are telling you that's going to be the future, that's bullshit. Just
forget about
it. That's constructed. That will never be like that. If it's your future, if you hope for it, then go for it. Mm-hmm. If it gives you energy, do something with it. If it gives you negative vibes, don't look at it. Look at a different future perspective. Look at the things you fear. If you know what you fear, start doing, start tackling it today.
Yeah.
If you know what you hope, don't wait until 2030. Play along with it today.
The exercise gives you control today to start steering where you want to go.
Yeah, and I think that is a really big insight. Like the future trends are interesting exercises, but it's only interesting if you start doing with it when you start working with it today. Mm-hmm. only if you, it's not about waiting until 2030. The really great future exercises are exercises that gives you energy to do something today. So that's why I hope that this little book will not give you insights in that future, but gives you the energy, the positivity to start doing stuff. Because the past was shit. And the future probably as well, but we don't know yet.
Yeah.
So let's start doing it. Let's start creating it. Look back, that nostalgia feeling for me of Nirvana, for instance, or look back to learn and then go forward, and then really go jump forward. I think we need to be way more futuristic from a human aspect, from a technology aspect. Also, the event industry needs to be way more futuristic. Go and work on it, but don't wait until 2030.
Yeah, and don't be afraid.
And don't be afraid. Okay, have fun.
We will put a link below the video so people know where they can find the book.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Thank you very much for coming over.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Hey, you at home, thank you for watching our show. I hope to see you next week.